Time now for Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. Can you believe it's November already? I just can't believe it. I mean, the leaves are covering our yard. There's a chill in the air, and I just got to tell you, I love it. I mean, driving into the studio this morning, the hillsides were just gorgeous. I mean, the trees are phenomenal. So this is wonderful, and we have a great show this morning. I can't wait for you to meet my guest, Bruce Orion, and his last name just might give you an idea of one of his expertises, Orion, but we have all kinds of great things to talk about with Bruce. But before we bring him on, we have a caller already this morning. So we're going to start with Randy. Randy, are you there?
You there?
Okay. All right. We're hitting the wrong buttons, but are you there? Okay. So.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm good, too. So what are you thinking about? What's on your mind this morning?
I was wondering what the universe or the spirit world has for me today.
Oh, just a broad brush. What's coming, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm seeing sunshine. Okay, and I'm seeing a little bit of jaggy stuff. So what's going on?
Well, tomorrow I go for my biopsy.
Okay, well, that would be the jaggy stuff.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there you go. So, but I'm seeing, first, I'm seeing the sunshine, Randy. So I'm thinking this is going to be all good for you.
Okay.
All right. But you're going to have that little bit of pinch there. And so be gentle and careful with yourself after that tomorrow. Okay.
Yep.
All right. But stay positive and keep a good thought. I think things are going to be just fine.
Thank you very much.
All right, Randy. Good luck.
Sure. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. But before we have another caller on hold, but I just want to get Bruce on here. So. All right. Good. Wonderful. So. Bruce is a historian, an astrologer, a hypnotherapist, and a speaker. He's appeared on radio and television talk shows, the Discovery Channel. He's written a weekly astrological column, and he's taught astrology. And for most of his life, Bruce has studied history, and he's a recognized speaker on the secret societies. In his lectures, he revisits the historical timeline, sharing little-known facts about politics, economics, and religion. He's been a frequent speaker at the United Nations, and where he addressed the Parapsychology Club. So I'm going to promise you today this is going to be very interesting. So welcome, Bruce.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you join us this morning.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, that's quite a list of specialties you have.
I find so many different things interesting. So, and then when, you know, it's like anything else. When you're looking at something and it doesn't quite make sense, and you're saying, okay, well, let me see what else is there. And the other thing is also you start to realize that there are many different perspectives on what happened in a particular situation. So,
yeah,
you know, if you can look at a couple of different perspectives, you can start to get maybe a clearer idea, which may end up being quite different than the one you initially had.
Yeah, I love that you have that open mind of exploration. And, you know, it's true. It's like, you know, you're a historian, so you're looking at history from more than one perspective. And I think that's, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when we read our history books, it's just one perspective.
And it's, you know, and to say to some degree, that's very much intentional. Because, you know, especially when you're in your early years, your subconscious mind is pretty much wide open until you hit about 8 years old. And so one of the techniques in hypnosis is to just simply compound a suggestion over and over again. So if the earliest references you're getting is a very sanitized version, let's say, of American history, that particular perspective will carry through because it becomes what's known as a core belief. And
okay.
Your subconscious mind will literally disregard information contrary to your core beliefs.
Oh, interesting. So, but it's the early years that set up those core beliefs, right?
More than anything else, I would say at least 75%, 80% of all your core beliefs. And a core belief will have a profound impact on your perspective of your life. You know, so for instance, let's say some kid's sitting in school and he's bored because he's not interested in the information they're trying to teach him, and he gets a lousy grade, and it happens a few times, and they label him as stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that becomes a core belief. So whenever that kid sits down to take a test, the subconscious mind then jams them up because it's only fulfilling whatever its programming is.
Right, and its programming at that point is, I'm stupid.
Then what happens, too, is that person's far more easily manipulated by people that are labeled experts in their field because already they have an insecurity about their own perspective, their own intelligence, and so now they have to have somebody else tell them what they think, how they feel, how they should view the world, etc.
Boy, it's very pervasive, isn't it?
It's the single most dominating force in a person's entire life and also in the life of the entire culture. Your subconscious mind is over a million times more powerful than your conscious mind. Probably at least 95% of what a person does throughout the day is done subconsciously. Like, for instance, when you learn to walk, you have to think about balance, feel it out, take each step. But when your subconscious mind, once it had the program, you never thought about it again. That's the same is true with everything. And even including bad habits, you just need to repeat something a few times over again. It kicks in locked in like a loop into the subconscious mind, and now it's in control.
So it's really the repetition, you know, that really puts it in there. It reminds me of like people when they're learning a new musical instrument and all that practice.
Exactly. Yeah, no. When you hear an athlete's in the zone, it's not his conscious mind that's involved at all. At that point, it's that the training completely took over the intelligence of the body.
Okay, and then the body just reacts on its own.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not limited in any way. It's kind of like, I don't know, you probably know that saying, argue for your limitations and they're yours.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that, but I like it.
Yeah, and it's absolutely true, especially from the perspective of, let's say, a hypnotist, because what we know is that the capability of people is directly a result of whatever they're programmed to believe their capabilities are. And so, for instance, I was reading this in a book years ago called Super Learning 2000. It was basically a manual more for teachers on how to accelerate the rate someone assimilates information.
Okay.
But what they did was they started an experiment by taking a group of young women in high school that were failing math, hated it and didn't like doing it. And they hypnotized these young girls into believing they liked it and they were really good at it. And they were beating all the men in the math competitions that same year.
Oh my goodness! So it's really a factor of what you believe you're capable of.
Absolutely, you know. And most of the programming, there's several factors that actually program a person's subconscious mind. The first one, which we mentioned, was education.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's the very environment that child grows up in for the first, let's say, 6 years of their life that's going to have the most profound impact on what the rest of their life is going to look like.
Right, so it's their home environment as well.
It becomes their expectations.
Okay.
You know, so for instance, like you could hear, let's say some woman grew up in a household with an alcoholic father, beat his mother, you know, and So you'll hear her say, one thing's for sure, I will never marry a man that has a drinking problem. The next thing you know, she's married to a guy that's got a drinking problem. Why? Because the subconscious mind literally got programmed that that's what it looked like to have a husband.
Oh, yeah, very interesting.
So even parents that have a lot of conflict with each other, fought a lot, that's what the programming a child took on. Same thing, like, for instance, the child notices right away how the mother responds to it. Okay, so what the mother does in terms of fulfilling her role in that child's life, that's the program that that woman will take into adulthood, and that's why a lot of times women will say, you know, well, I'll never be like my mother, and then one day to their horror, they're doing something just like their mother did.
Yeah.
It's because literally the subconscious mind just takes over and says, this is what it looks like to be a mother. This is what it looks like to be a parent. And so parenting becomes, let's say, just a rehashing of the very same programs that were put into their parents' subconscious mind.
Right, because I've read that, you know, particularly children who have come from abusive situations at home, it's like you think they would be the last ones to do that to their own children, but a lot of times that's the case, and that would just make sense based on what you've just been telling us.
I will take it to the point where I'll say they literally have no choice.
Ah.
But to show up that way. The only thing they could do if they felt inspired enough, and who knows when that happens, but to start to grow the level of their awareness and their consciousness so that there's actually some part of them that's objective enough to step out of the program and said, I'm not going there.
Right, but they have
Other than that, they have no choice. It's kind of like, you know, when they say, like, no one's consciously dysfunctional?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody woke up this morning and said, let's see, I have an option here. I can show up really intelligent, brilliant, loving, compassionate, or I can be a real idiot today. I can offend all kinds of people. I could just walk around feeling really lousy and miserable, spewing my garbage on others. I think I'll go with that second option because it worked so good yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, no one consciously does that. But nonetheless, because of whatever's going on in their subconscious mind is literally creating what they're experiencing in their external life. Now, you take a child that's, let's say, raised in an abusive household, all right, one that lacked affection, too. There's probably a couple of core beliefs in that child's life that is going to be imprinted, and one of them is I'm not wanted, and the other one is I'm not lovable.
Mm.
Now, if I have a belief that says I'm not lovable, I'm unconsciously going to be attracted to people that are unaffectionate. Because literally, if they were very affectionate, it would make me extremely uncomfortable, and I wouldn't even trust it.
Oh, because it would feel so wrong, because they're...
Exactly.
Right, they have no example of that.
And so it kind of would make them, you know, cringe, literally, if some guy's, oh, you're so beautiful, I can't live without you. They'd be, oh, my God, get me out of here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? So, for instance, again, if I had the program, let's say there was like this big assembly where you get to meet, you know, a bunch of eligible people from the opposite sex. And let's say you have a young woman that was raised in an abusive household, and she goes to one of these, and there's 30 eligible men there that want to meet her. And 29 of these guys are great, very loving, kind, compassionate, etc. But one's not. He's kind of cold, critical, maybe emotionally shut down. The second she walks into that room, her subconscious mind knows who that one man is, and that's the one she'll find herself powerfully attracted to.
Isn't that interesting that the subconscious can even just feel that without even talking to the people?
Your subconscious mind literally pulls in 40 million bits of information a second.
So it's okay. Really like evaluating maybe just facial expression and... mannerism and...
No. Let's take it even much further than that, because we already know, for instance, that you can hypnotize one person, put them in a room, and then tell them that they're going to taste everything that somebody else in a different room puts in their mouth, and they can.
Wow.
So, you know, it's like a lot of spiritual people realize that there is an interconnectedness within the consciousness of the entire human race, and that literally the boundaries we... think are there aren't really necessarily there. They're actually only there because you believe they're there. You were conditioned to believe you didn't have certain abilities. And that's even true with psychic abilities. You
right.
hypnotize someone and you can just say, okay, now you're very clairvoyant and now you're going to see what's going on in that other person's life, and they will.
Because you get rid of all that block, that big block that they put up there that they can't do that.
Exactly. So, again, when that person walked into the room, their subconscious mind literally picked up the vibration itself, because it's taking in all kinds of information, not just physical signals, not just words,
right.
not just mannerisms. It's literally taking in, it feels the vibration of
the
that
energy.
Particular energy.
Wow. So, you know, it's amazing. So all this information about the subconscious mind, and I was just thinking when you were talking about children, it seems like it'd be a good thing to work with these poor kids that have been abused to put them in a position that they don't carry that forward to the next generation.
I can't think of anything more important, really, in terms of the future for, you know, the entire country, because a lot of these kids will not rise above the level of what they've grown up in,
right?
Because they're literally not going to believe they have the capability to do it. And if you don't believe you can do it, you won't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So a lot of times it's just the limiting programming. Like I remember there was the man who was running the Harvard education system in New York City, and he was on TV trying to get more money for computers and stuff like that to try and give the kids in his community a better shot at being successful, going to college, whatever. And I wrote him a letter basically saying, look, you just give me, especially your elementary school teachers groups, you know, grades 1, 2, and 3, and give me 2 hours and I can show them how they can literally more than double the amount of kids that are eventually going to go into college or be successful, at least double that, simply by reprogramming some of their core beliefs. And the fact is, until they hit about 10 years old, it's a lot easier to do. Once they're about 12, there's usually unresolved emotional connections to those beliefs that, you know, eventually undermine people's health. I think it's one of the major causes of disease is unresolved emotional issues that are festering in within the body.
Oh, that's an interesting thought, too.
I've seen it consistently. If I, let's say, for instance, have someone and I guide them in a higher consciousness, and then just as an example, let's say they had a particular tumor. I'd say, now focus your full awareness in that part of your body, kind of like you're breathing in and out of that spot. As you do that, you're going to become aware of a feeling or an emotion. I won't tell them what the feeling is, right? Because I don't know.
Right, you don't know
just
what
like
is
there. You're going to become
there.
Aware of it. Let me know when you do. And within no time at all, they do. You know, that's anger, that's resentment, that's you know, self-hatred. That's, you know, and I personally believe that, you know, most autoimmune diseases on some subconscious level have either self-sabotage or self-hatred at the core.
Interesting.
Why is the body turning against itself? Because, for instance, if you look at Bruce Lipton's work in Biology mm-hmm. of Belief was a phenomenal book.
Right, I love that.
He's saying that your subconscious mind is the primary determining factor of the cells in your body and how they're going to show up. Basically, based on the signals your subconscious mind is giving those cells. And, you know, we say also in metaphysics that the emotional body is magnetic, meaning whatever we're not fully expressing gets trapped in the magnetic field of the body and it doesn't go away. It may eventually become unconscious, so we don't know why we're angry all the time or why we're suddenly crying or why we're depressed. We don't even know why. But it's still like your body's holding it, kind of like, you know, when you close your fist, there's a certain part of your body that is holding that particular emotion. And when you can release the emotion quite often and compound, here's the other part of illness too. A lot of times when people come to me and they have a physical illness, they'll say, you know, if I said to them, do you want to be healthy? They'd look at me like I was retarded.
Yeah.
Why do you think I'm even sitting here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I ask their subconscious mind through a process of, you know, kinesiology, through muscle testing,
mm-hmm.
most of the time the answer is no. The subconscious mind actually has an investment in that sickness, in that illness, in some way.
Yeah, it's hard for them to think of them having an investment in illness, but a lot of people do. Sometimes it's just attention.
Well, one of the things I noticed, I was working with a woman one time with MS, and
mm-hmm.
It had progressed really badly, in fact, but I'd known her for a long time and knew that she had always had health issues. So under hypnosis, I said to her, I know you really want to get better, but now I want you to see why you don't. Let me know when you know the answer to that question. She goes, I know. Okay. Is there a feeling or an emotion connected to this? She goes, yes. And I expected fully there was. Okay, now take me back to the very first time you ever had that feeling. She's 8 years old. She's laying in bed sick. Her older brother and sister kept coming into the room and putting on little plays for her to cheer her up. Her mother and father were getting her favorite meals to eat, her favorite videos to watch. And her subconscious mind said, I get love and affection when mm-hmm. I'm sick. So literally, even though that didn't work in her adult life, it doesn't matter. The subconscious mind keeps playing it out. And because the conscious mind has no power compared to the power of the subconscious mind, quite often that results in then self-hatred because I'm not achieving what I want, because you keep self-sabotaging, etc. I'll give you one quick example, and this is something. A lot of times when women are carrying a lot of excess weight and have for a long time, and then you muscle test them and say I want a thin, healthy body, they go weak. Because the subconscious mind has an investment in keeping that weight on. And most of the time, it's because when they were younger, they got unwanted sexual attention from someone and it scared them.
Mm-hmm.
So the subconscious mind decided they were going to make sure that didn't happen again. So even though consciously that woman may want to be healthy and attractive, the subconscious mind said, we're absolutely not going there because that's scary.
Right, right. Here's our protection.
Yeah. So in all ways, shapes, and forms, the subconscious mind is literally looking at and perceiving. When it looks out of your eyes, for instance, your eyeballs are taking in what we call photons of light, stimulating nerves in the back behind the retina, and I can't go into the whole thing. Your mind is creating pictures. It's literally creating what you see as when you look out of your eyes. It's literally taking in what you hear. So, again, it's eliminating anything contrary to the programs it already has. That's why pessimists always have, you know, depressing lives, because they literally don't see the things that would be the opposite perspective of the optimist.
Right, right. They see things that way. It reminds me of, I remember, because you see what you expect to see because you're creating that. It reminded me of hearing about, like, when the ships first came over and the Indians saw them out in the ocean, you know, the natives here. They didn't actually see the tall ships because they couldn't.
Exactly
they
right.
They had no reference for that. It didn't compute.
If you hypnotize someone and you say, okay, you're going to notice right now that when you open your eyes, I've got green hair, I've got a big wart on my nose, and I'm missing all my front teeth. When you open your eyes, if you were in deep hypnosis, that's exactly what you'd see. Now, there's been a lot of time that's gone into programming your subconscious mind without you having any knowledge of that at all.
Yeah.
And probably the most significant method that's been used, and certainly in our lifetime, was the television. Because the weird thing is, see, people know this. It's not like nobody knows that the subconscious mind works like this. But unfortunately, the people that ran with it were the people that were obviously looking to profit by
right.
it. And the biggest example is TV advertisers, for instance. So they know that you're in a state of hypnosis when you're staring into that TV tube, and maybe deep hypnosis if it's really late at night. So what they do is, that's why you'll see a TV commercial shown two or three times just in the same half hour. You think, those commercials are expensive. Why would they throw their money away? I saw that commercial already in the same show. That's not why they do that. They do that because they're compounding the suggestion into your subconscious mind.
It's a repetition.
Exactly. So suddenly you wake up the next morning, you're all freaked out because maybe you don't have life insurance. Mm-hmm. And you don't really know that that's because when you were half asleep, that thought was put into your head when you were half asleep in front of the television set.
Yeah. All right. Well, Gil, do we have a commercial break we need to go
to?
We
have a commercial break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, we'll be right back. This is so interesting. Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back after this. Time now for more Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBrow, brought to you by Zunink Advisory Services.
Okay, we're back. We're back. And our guest this morning is Bruce Orion. And we're talking with Bruce about the subconscious. So, Bruce, we were just talking about how television is one of the modes that really is so good at programming. And it's making me think, I mean, here it is, election day here where we are. And, you know, I think about all these political ads. And I'm thinking, what is in those political ads maybe that's getting into our subconscious?
Well, first of all, especially those ads are very manipulative in terms of the languaging they're using and also the picture they're trying to paint in your mind of who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and a lot of times what they're using is they'll use certain archetypes, you know, which trigger the subconscious mind in certain terms of certain symbolism. You know, like, for instance, there's an archetype for a leader, an archetype for a hero, an archetype for a
savior. Now, when you say arc, like an archetype, you know, okay.
Yeah. Okay. But let me show you the extent of it, okay? Like, I was doing a survey, and this is going back probably about 6 years ago. It was the presidential election between Gore and Bush.
Okay.
And before that election, I went around asking everyone, just as my own personal little survey, I say to people, do you believe what politicians tell you? And out of maybe 50, 60 people I asked that question to, how many you think said yes?
I'm going to say 20.
Zero.
Zero.
Not a single person said yes when I said, do you believe what politicians tell you?
So,
not one person said yes. So after the election, I went around and I asked people, why'd you vote for the guy you voted for? And you know what answer I got almost every single time? I like what he had to say.
Oh, you're kidding. I thought they were going to say because I didn't like the other guy.
Well, that's usually how elections work in this country. But if you think about what I just said, they all said they don't believe anything these guys say, and then they said they voted for him because what he said.
That's wild.
And people don't see the same connection. You ask someone, how come you never vote third party? How come you always vote for Democrats or Republicans? And most people tell you it's because I don't want to throw away my vote.
Yes, I hear that all the time.
Sure. But then you say, wait a minute, no matter who I vote for, it seems like I still get the same collective group of losers, whether it's Democrat or Republican. In my entire life, nothing really has changed. So, in fact, am I not throwing away my vote for picking one of these two guys they've given me the option of?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought to put out there, isn't it?
Yeah, because no one's thinking about it. They're just collectively doing it. It becomes just a core belief. That suggestion has been programmed into people's subconscious minds that you cannot vote for anybody other than what the Republican Party or the Democratic Party gives you as an option, because you're wasting your time choosing anybody else.
Well, I think part of the thing there, too, Bruce, is when they're saying they're throwing away their vote, is because everybody wants to vote for the winner. And they're thinking that that person has no chance of winning because he's not part of the main party system.
Well, that's probably true of a lot of people, although you also got one of the things that the press has done over the last, maybe especially effectively over the last 20 years, is divide everybody into two basic camps.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got your liberals and your conservatives. Now, first of all, nobody really took the time to say, wait a minute, both these two different groups of people want the same thing.
That is so true. And I'll tell you, Bruce, because we have that all the time. It's like we have friends that politically are on the sort of, you know, take the other frame of reference most of the time. And when we sit down and talk about the issues, we find out we're on the same page.
And that's going to almost always be true, because everybody wants the same things. They want a good education for their children. They want to be able to support their families. They want to live with some comfort. They want to live free of the stress of losing everything they own and ending up destitute. I mean, that's basically what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
The discrepancy is not what they want. It's how they think you need to get there.
Yeah.
And you've got two different camps, ones that want to go backwards and ones that want to go forward. And neither one of them is wise as an exclusive option, ever. Right? For instance, what happens if your body stops growing? You die.
Right, right.
What happens if your cells start reproducing and moving forward without any kind of conservation? You've got cancer. You die. Right? That's true of all life. Both those things always constantly should come into balance. Number one, let's say, for instance, they invent a great invention. Awesome. Let the conservative part of a person look at that and say, now, is just because we can do it, does that make it a good idea? What are going to be the downline impacts of this or, let's say, the next two generations by making this part of the collective experience of the people here?
Well, you know, and then I think like what you're saying is, like, let people look at the actual thought and idea. And I have to tell you, sometimes I think maybe we shouldn't have parties in this country because we get so caught up on whether it's a Republican or a Democrat idea, and we don't evaluate the idea for the idea.
Well, you know, like anything else, they were using buzzwords, things that get people emotionally upset without really looking at issues or really even changing them very much. But when people are really voting Democrat or Republican, if they really thought about it, they'd realize that they're both run by the same people. It's like two different corporations that have the same board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And the board of directors is the oligarchy of this country. And that's not just true in America. It's true in every single country in the world. You have the people that have most of the power and wealth dictating what your choices even are in terms of for any election you go see. And so these people, are working for the corporations. The corporations, which also control the media, which is the only place you're getting any information about what's actually going on out there. They control the flow of that information.
Right, but everybody thinks that their media isn't biased.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly, because you're just playing to certain prejudices that are compounded into my subconscious mind. For instance, if the programming of American history worked as I was going through elementary school and junior high school, I would never question the actions of my government, because my government is always the guys with the white hat that stand for justice and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's totally contrary to the actual history of this country. It's radically different. But nonetheless, if I have that as a subconscious belief, then I won't see when other people are questioning the actions of our government, as that is anything short of treasonous.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, wait a minute, the guys who founded this country were rebels against the status quo as it existed at the
time.
Yeah,
you think of our founding fathers.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But that is very interesting how we look at things. And it's true. It's like we have been taught to think that, you know, we're always the good guys. And we were always taught that, can you believe what happens in Russia and things like that? And then we don't even see it if it's happening here.
You know, my friend just spent a month in Russia. He was in St. Petersburg and he was in Moscow. And he wrote me a letter. And he's very astute in terms of, you know, he's been to over 140 countries. So he really studies and sees places. And he said to me, St. Petersburg is one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful city in Europe, has the greatest museums. He said the most beautiful buildings. He said most of Europe's covered with graffiti. Everything was spotless. Most of the policemen had no weapons on them, and people were friendly and affluent. Everyone's driving nice cars. That was radically different from the picture I had in my mind based on nothing but the media painting a picture for me of what it was like in Russia.
Right. Well, my husband's traveled recently for the government in Russia for several meetings. And, you know, he's really gotten to see a different picture. And there's a lot of affluence in Russia right now.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the very thing we said about liberals and conservatives basically wanting the same thing, that's true of everyone in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's a group of people talking about bombing cities in some other country, they need to realize those people sitting in those apartments are exactly like them. Basically, they believe whatever they were raised to believe. If they were raised in a Christian country, they believe in Christianity. If they're raised in a Muslim country, they believe in Islam, or Buddhist, et cetera, would believe in Buddhism. So they believe what they've been conditioned to believe. They've got families, children that they love, that they want to see do well. It's like if they don't like their government, like a lot of people may not at the moment like ours, what is anybody going to do about it? Why punish them as if, you know, you're collectively deserve to be punished because you don't like the guy who's running, you know, another country in another part of the world?
Right, because we're all out there, and we say that too. It's like we're all looking for the same things. And you said that earlier too, Bruce. We all want our kids to be healthy. We all want to have food to eat. We all want to, you know, have a good life and, you know, we want the best for our families. And we're all across the world wanting the same things.
Exactly right. And, you know, when we lose sight of that, what happens is a lot of times the media will literally villainize a certain group of people. Like, for instance, when I was a little kid, it was like I was born about 10 years after World War II. So it was kind of the Nazis were still kind of the big players. But then it became the Russians were the boogeymen for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's the Muslims are now the new boogeymen. And each time those groups of people were portrayed as less than human in some way. You know, and so then you could somehow justify it. It's almost as if like you're in Lord of the Rings and the Muslims are the orcs or
right.
or the Russians were, et cetera.
Right,
you
know, absolutely.
And so it conditions people to be available and willing to go to war.
Exactly. And it builds it builds a hatred that really takes people out of their rational mind to look at things from a different perspective.
It really does, because, you know, one of the things is when you threaten someone's core beliefs, they become, like, almost violent, a lot of them. And meanwhile, a belief means you don't know. You believe it because it makes more sense to you than anything else. It's not like you believe it because you know. There isn't a single religion in the world that you were there.
Right.
That you know because you saw Jesus get crucified, or you know because you saw Muhammad fly off in that winged horse, or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, Buddha ascend. You don't know, so you believe. And yet, to question someone's core beliefs can make people, like, literally go crazy. Like, you know, one day I was sitting around and I was thinking to myself, what makes a prophet? And I thought, you know, it's not necessarily that they were enlightened beings. And then I thought, well, actually, they were probably the one person not in denial. They were the one person willing to look at what nobody else wanted to see. And then I thought, well, how much does society love their prophets? Well, you know, they crucify them, they skin them alive, they burn them at the stake. That's the degree people do not want to come out of denial.
Yeah. Well, you know, they don't want somebody telling them what they believe is wrong.
But that what they do believe is right. Like, let's say, for instance, we'll look at, like, the early history of the Catholic Church, or, like, early Middle Ages, for instance. You better believe exactly what that priest told you. It's not a matter of, well, yeah, I'd like to believe what I want to believe. No, I want to believe the very thing that keeps me from being burned alive.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you want
to... Or my children. God forbid, yeah. I grow up with a bunch of heretics in my household. They'll take me and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that kind of fear compounded into God knows how many generations of Europeans eventually anchored a series of core beliefs that literally are by most people unquestioned.
Yeah, well... And we perpetuate that because we pass that down. And, you know, and like we said earlier, it's like what children grow up with in their home, it becomes their core belief.
And the only way out of that, unless, of course, you're working with someone who's conscious enough to see it and know how to eliminate programs and reprogram them, which is not really that difficult to do, then what other option do you have other than to try and work on yourself spiritually to become more conscious, more aware and more objective enough to have choices in terms of how you actually show up and not how you're programmed to show up?
Yeah, I think it's just the first step is for people to understand that, you know, we have been programmed, and I'll just use the word influence because I think program will sort of people be like, oh, I wasn't programmed. You know, that's a hard word for some people.
Well,
but, you know,
they need to believe, though. That's true, though. It
yeah.
is true. They were programmed. They need
yeah.
to let that... See, that's the very thing. You know, it's like sometimes we have a tendency to protect people so much they really didn't hear what it is that would have benefited them to move forward with that information. And I'm not accusing you of that. I've just seen
so that's
much
an interesting
in terms
point.
Of compassion for someone else's feelings.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Okay, Bruce, well, this has just been so interesting, and I'm hoping that you'll come back because there's so much more that we could talk about. But thank you so much for sharing just some information to just open our minds a little bit to some things we haven't thought about.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Okay, and I'll be in touch with you, and hopefully you'll come back, and we're going to take a quick break here, and then I'll be back to tell you who's coming next week. Okay, we're back. So I just want to say a big thank you again to Bruce O'Ryan. And I didn't get a chance to tell you all how to get in touch with him. So please go to my website and you can find out some more information about Bruce and his website and how to get a hold of him. My website is www.jackielebeau.com, JACQUILEBEAU.com. Next week, Dr. Christina Chambreau joins us again. You'll remember she was on before. She's a veterinarian and author, an internationally renowned holistic veterinarian, and she presents on diet and nutrition, homeopathy, and other holistic practices. So we're going to be talking about natural foods and their healing properties. And so join us to learn more about how easy it is to heal your animal companions from your own kitchen. Dr. Chambreau will touch on some of the topics from her upcoming comprehensive 4-hour workshop that's coming here on November 16th. It's in the Maryland area, very near us. So a lot of us will be able to go down there and join her. And she's going to help us understand how nutrition affects the whole being, how the body processes certain foods and supplements, what to look for and avoid in selecting food and supplements, and how you can change your animal's health with some very simple steps that you can do yourself. So join us next week for some good things for your animals. And as always, Dr. Chambreau is a delight. So I'll be looking forward to having her. So we'll see you next week.
Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau has been brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. News coming up.
You and I.
News is coming up. ABC News at the top of the hour is next.
Country music legends and the stars of the world-famous Grand Ole Opry. This is Real Country, 1280 WHVR, Hanover.